discuss the nature of edut, of testimony, and we're going to see how testimony might work differently in different halakha contexts, right? Obviously, there are a lot of different halakha contexts where testimony comes up, dina mamano, dina nefasho, in the context of a marriage, and it could be that the witnesses are playing a different role in the different contexts, and that might be significant what role they're playing. Okay, so let's start to explore that. Just, if you've been at a wedding recently, you might have noticed that there are different practices. Charlie, can you see what happened? Okay, there are different practices. For example, at some weddings, they might read a letter from the Rebbe at the chuppah. Okay, but that's not connected to testimony. Okay, but for usually two witnesses are called up to witness the giving of the rate, right? You call the Eid Kiddushin, right? You'll see the MC will call them up. Now, here's where the split you might have. At some weddings, they'll just call up the two witnesses. Some weddings, they'll say, you know, Reuven and Levi are the witnesses to the exclusion of all others. Anyone hear that phrase? Something like, why would you say that? Why do you need to, like, exclude everybody else? Right? They're the witnesses and nobody else. And sometimes you will do that. Sometimes you will not do that. Yeah, Daniel.
I think that there are other people who end up being counted as witnesses who are puzzled.
Okay, very good. So we're going to discover two things that Daniel's correct. One is there was a rule called Eidut Shebatla Miktzata Batla Kula. Okay, what does that rule mean? That if a group comes together, one rotten apple, as it were, spoils the group. Right? If there's three witnesses in a group, and one is pasul, so you might have thought, okay, who cares, one's pasul, there's still two left, all you need are two Eidim. But somehow, since they're an integrated whole, since they're one unit, so the one invalid witness invalidates everybody. Okay, so that is the rule. And then, it sounds like we're worried that might happen at a wedding. What if there's a pasul Eid who's going to invalidate the group? So we kind of isolate the two fellows. We say, they're the Eidim, and nobody else are the Eidim. But that, of course, raises the million-dollar question. How do you define the group? Like, at what point do you say X and Y and Z are integrated, and they're all Eidim together, and therefore it's possible? So almost, it's another interesting question. Like, when does your Eid identity start? And what defines the group as one group? Okay, we'll go to that. Great. So let's get down to business. We'll start actually not in the context of marriage. So we're going to head to the context of marriage shortly. Okay, so there is a discussion in Sanhedrin about testimony. We know in Judaism the best form of evidence is having two witnesses. So let's see how it plays out. Ketzad bodkim et eidim. How do we check the witnesses? Hayu machnisim otan l'cheder. We put them in a room. Uma'aymin aleihem. Anyone iyumis? Yeah, we threaten them. We scare them a little bit. They realize that giving testimony is a big deal. Umotzin et kol adam l'chutz. We send everybody out. Umishayrin et ha'gadol shalem. We only allow the older one to stay inside. And we ask him, how do you know that this fellow is chayav money? Now, notice what we're doing, of course. What's obviously the point of having two witnesses? Why two? You're going to compare when their stories match. Obviously, you can't do that if they're in the room at the same time. Right? So you have one testify, you hear his story, then you send him out, bring the other fellow, and the second fellow testifies, and you see, is there a correspondence between the two stories? But now, let's go down to get down to business. Imamar, if the fellow says, Hu amar li shani chayavlo, I heard him say, I owe Larry $100. Ish ploni amar li shu chayavlo, lo amar klum. That is not yet enough. Somehow that doesn't work. Ad sheyomer befaneinu hodalo shu chayavlo matay mezuz. So somehow one report about the obligation, about the debt, is not convincing. But if you're a modev, there's something else that would happen that would make it convincing. So what's the difference between the two cases? When does the hodah become convincing? When does it not? So let's keep reading. So imamar hu amar li atshom b'fnei hodah l'shchayim otay b'zuz. Misei l'rabi Yehuda dam Yehuda merav. Tzarech sheyomar atem eidai. Apparently, what would make me convinced that the admittance is real? Is what happens? Sorry? Yeah, exactly. Apparently, here we have designation of witnesses, not for the reasons Daniel said before, just to show that you're serious. Like, someone says, I owe a lot of money. When do you know that he's serious? If he told you beforehand, you are my witnesses. That atem eidai is a mark of seriousness. Now, what would happen if he didn't say atem eidai? Why do you think someone might not be telling the truth? Right, because most people say, if he said he's chayev, of course he's chayev. So actually, one of the things I've become more and more curious about in recent years is, you know, a lot of people confess for other reasons, like in all kinds of crimes, right? There are all kinds of false confessions as well. Because we tend to usually think, no, if someone confesses, it's an open and shut case. Obviously, they're guilty. Okay, it's interesting that studies seem to show that's not always the case. So let's look at here. Why would someone confess to being in debt if they're not actually in debt? So if you look in the Rashi, Lo Maklum, what does Rashi say? The Abed Inish number Ploni no Shabi. People say, X lent me money. Why? Kidei Shelo Yachziku Ashir. What's Rashi's first approach? Why do you tell people you're in debt if you're not? Yeah. What's one of the difficulties with being the rich guy in any social group? Yeah, people think they can rely on you. You go out for dinner, everyone's looking at you to pick up the check, right? They assume you'll leave the tip. Right? Not always good to be considered the wealthy guy. So now you might want people to think, no, don't look at my fancy car, I'm not so wealthy. What is one method of doing so? Well, you'll tell a lot of people about all your debts so you don't realize how much money I borrowed from the guy across the street from me. Right? Don't think I'm in such great financial situations. Okay, so that is why, according to Rashi, someone who says I owe money might not yet be convincing that they really owe. But if before they said, you're my witness, I owe this money, that designation raises the level, and we assume they're serious. Okay, everyone good so far? Okay, now there is a second possibility, which the Gemara itself mentions. Someone might be Mishat Anibacha. What's Mishat Anibacha? See the next Rashi. So Chikei Dibacha. Bishvil Sheki Sholani Mashaloya. What's the other possibility? Yeah, I'm just messing with you. I'm just kidding around. Right, you might say to me, how you doing these days? Right, what's your financial situation? Someone say, are you in debt? Oh, I'm in terrible debt. Right, no, you're not just playing around. Again, we want to know that you're serious. We know that you're serious when you say, I tell me die. So just to sum up, in the world of money, we do have a sense of designation of witnesses. But again, unlike Daniel's point, here it's not about who's kosher, who's puzzle. It's about being serious about your admittance. We know you're serious if you said, I tell me die. You didn't say, I tell me die. There are other explanations for why you admit it. Akiva Levy, you're getting a little tired there. Must have been a late shift in Burger King last night. Okay. Yeah, Joseph.
I would say there's also the third reason that's probably the most common is that a lot of people with KK, they don't want to go through all the red tape. Not exactly red tape, but it takes a lot to actually get through the legal process. So some people just admit to something just to shorten.
Very good. Okay, excellent.
Is that something that happens?
Look, I'm not sure that applies so much in our tradition, but I think you're right in life. I mean, one thing that happens a lot. Okay, this is. Oh, who? Where is he? Where's he? Sully Fuchter. This is his favorite book. Where'd he go? Okay. And Jared Schaaf. How are we going to have Shira? All our religious anarchists are gone. Okay. What's that? The soldier on. Okay. So, one thing that happens. Jordan, it's your book. Okay. Why do people plea bargain all the time? Because they're threatened with something much worse. So then, that's another reason why people will admit something they didn't do. Let's say the prosecutor says to you, well, either agree to this crime and you'll serve 6 months in jail, or we'll charge you with something that might be 10 years in jail. So a lot of people don't want to take the risk. Okay, I'll just plead guilty and take the 6 months. So yeah, unfortunately, it's a big problem in our legal system. Yeah.
So why do we absolutely trust him that he's not joking about appointing us to...
Look, at some point, it's got to break down, right? Despite everything I said, I still think the average confession is sincere. Right, it doesn't mean 2% of confessions are sincere. So at some point, we have to you pass this threshold, as it were, and then we do assume sincerity.
So right? At a certain point, it just allows some practice.
Look, I think we have a balance, right? On the one hand, that is evidence. Let's say it this way, guys. It is strong support if the guy admits it. I don't deny that. It is strong support. What's on the other side? There might be various reasons why someone would falsely admit. So there's got to be some point where the balance shifts, and then we say, okay, now we take the confession seriously. Okay? Yeah.
So the reasons we have two reasons for why it may not be considered legit until he's declared an aid with these things. But why is that subject to the realm of mammon as opposed to other things?
Oh, we go right now. Excellent. Okay. So let us see how Atem Eidai will play into non-monetary conversations. Okay? Let's see right now. I will say one thing, though, before we move on, guys. What about... some of you guys are going to know this, I think. What would be the parallel if we tried to play this into capital crimes? What do you think, guys? Why would the whole question break down in halacha? Yes, Daniel Seamus.
If a killer testifies about his own crime?
Yeah.
And then
what? What would happen? What if he says that Teme die? Very good. Who said that? Where was that? Okay. Ari Buzwankin, excellent. You can't incriminate yourself in halacha for a capital crime. If you come to Beis Din and say, I killed somebody on the Chal Shabbos, it doesn't matter how good he's there. Right? Beis Din does not put you to death based on your own admittance. So there'd be no threshold because it's kind of irrelevant. There's a rule called Ein Adam Misim Atzmo Rasha. By your own testimony, you can't make yourself a Rasha in that context, and therefore it wouldn't really be relevant. So, Tanis, your question has limited scope. Right? In the whole world of Dini Nefashot, it doesn't really get started. It's more when we get to marriage, we'll bring it up right now. Yeah, Yoni.
Would the basin take the testimony of like a Chomachom over someone else? Or like it doesn't matter?
Let's discuss that some other time. Yeah.
Isn't there also an issue about family testimony?
Okay, sure.
Would that only
count
in certain cases or
families? No, Krovim can't testify. Krovim are postulated. Yeah.
On that last point, is the reason that a witness can't, someone can't testify on himself, is that because they lack of two witnesses? Or is that
why can you not incriminate yourself is a good machshava debate. In fact, it might even be an issue in Jewish law.
It's
true, the meaning of life is here. Let's see. Is it here? Topic 22, self-incrimination, Jewish law. It's actually what we're about to be up to for Sunday. Very exciting. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy. What? No, you could take the fifth, but if you don't take the fifth, you can't incriminate yourself. Okay? We're good? All right, so let's go to now to see how this plays out in marriage. Okay, so let's go to the third source. Very interesting Gemara in Kiddushin. This is great for the lamdos of Shlichut, but we're not discussing Shlichut today. We're discussing Eidut, but we'll mention it very briefly. Okay, Itmar, Rav Mar Shliach Nase Eid. A Shliach can wear two hats simultaneously. He can be both Shliach and Eid. Like, let's say I send Johnny Nuriel to betroth the woman for me, right? Because I want it to be, a happy betrothal. Okay, so I send Johnny. Okay, Charlie Golic was not available. So I send Johnny. Okay, what?
First choice?
Okay. So I send Johnny, and he is now bringing the ring to her. He's going to say, Rabbi wants you to marry her. Let's marry you. But he's also going to testify later that he did it. So maybe what's the big deal? He's the shliach, and he's eight. It's two for one deal. Okay, so that is Rav. And Rav Shila says it's a bad idea. Don't do it. You can't be both shliach and eight simultaneously. You need somebody else to be the witnesses. Okay, my time to be Rav Shila. So we're trying to figure out, why not? What's the big deal? Why can't Johnny? He's a fine shliach. He's a fine aide. Why can't he do both things? So, Ile Mishum Delorma Habili Aid. What's the worst first thought? I never appointed him. I mean, maybe you do need a Teme Dai, even in the context of Kiddushin. Elameata, Kiri Shishim Veneshnaim, Mama Teme Dai. How can I believe Kiddushin? I was like in shock. If I do Kiddushin, don't appoint them. It's not a Kiddushin. Ella, Rava Mashliach Naseid, Alumi Kamalim Namilta. Tibir Rav Shila, Ma'in Shach Naseid, why? Kibben de Amar Mar, Shlucho Shaladam Kimoto, Havile Kiguve. This is a great Gemara. According to Ben Rav Shila in the end, we'll do the Shlichot part first, then we'll come back to the Eid part. Why do we say a Shliach can't be an Eid? What does that mean? Shlucho Shaladam Kimoto. The Shliach takes on the identity of the person who they're working as an agent for. And let's say I was not using Johnny. I was marrying her myself. Could I be the witness? No, because the participant can't be. That's the whole idea. The witness is an outsider, right? The participants do the action, and the outsiders testify, the bystander testifies. So everyone would agree, I couldn't be the aide, but maybe if Johnny's my shliach, he's me, right? We really identify, right? The agents identify with the sender, and therefore he can't be the aide. Okay, so that, notice, the psul ends up being about the nature of shlichut. Okay, what psul was rejected? It's clearly not because, what did the Gemara say? Atem Eidai. You don't need that. So it's clear, Tani, that the Gemara is pretty clear, you don't need Atem Eidai in the world of Kiddushin. Apparently all those fears that, the guy's just joking around, or he just wants to make sure no one thinks he's wealthy. Apparently we apply that to Mammon. We don't apply that to Kiddushin. One last point, more comments? Okay, what interesting machloket might emerge in the world of shlichut? Okay, what would Rav say, apparently? Exactly. I mean, there's two ways to tell how shlichut works. One is, Johnny does not become me in the slightest, but he doesn't act, and legally I get credit for that act. All shlichut is he's able to pass the act to me. Here's my act, I'm doing it, I'll pass it to you. You get it. Okay, or you say, no, it's a much more profound identification. Right, the shliach adopts my identity. Right, it'd be interesting to see, like, if they're palaces in Sekolo, you give somebody power of attorney. Right, how strong is their ability? How much do they take on your identity in power of attorney? Right, so that might be, this is machloket here, it's about the nature of shlichut. Right, Rav does not think shlichut is a real identity, so you can be both shliach and aid. Whereas Bei Rav Shila thinks, no, if you're the shliach, you're the participant, you can't possibly be the aid. That is a fascinating machloket in the world of shlichut. But we're going to leave aside shlichut for now, and go back to Atem Eidai, and now we have a very nice machloket, okay? Not machloket, a very sharp distinction. We need Atem Eidai in Mamon, we don't need Atem Eidai in Kiddushin. Yeah.
Could that also recommend a shliach could be two-aided?
No, why should he get magic to be two?
Well, he could be himself and also be represented for someone else. Could that
not be feasible? Who else is he? You're saying that Johnny's with Johnny and me?
Well,
that's not going to help because I can't testify. Even if you're willing to live with that split personality theory.
No, so if you could, let's say two people saw an act and then the second person is a shliach for the first person.
Yeah, but if the first person is the participant, he can't be an aide. Like, I let's say I go along with Johnny for whatever reason. Oh, we'll go back to our case, right? Let's say I pick him just because he's more smiley than I am. So I'm going to be there, but I want him to do it, right? So I still can't be an aide, right? It's my kiddushin. I can't be an aide.
Let's say it's not you.
So why do I need to be two people? There's me and him, right?
Conceptually.
I should stop playing around with the case. No, you can't be two people at once, okay? There's no. I'm not sure exactly why you argue that, but yeah.
I'm not sure if my remember is coming up in Kiddushin. I think it might have when I learned it. Is it possible this would happen in Kiddushin? Let's say, you play a shirt to marry someone, then he goes to marry someone else who you didn't appoint him to marry, when I do some of your status, would that happen?
No, it doesn't make any sense. If you made him a shliach to marry Rachel, why should you allow to betroth you to Leah? Right.
Because
if... I don't see what the logic would be that should work.
If he took on personality, then he could really act as you, then at any rate, we'll say that he...
Yeah, but I think that's too strong to dig it. Especially because you gave him certain parameters. But I'll give you a different case where it might come up. Okay, this is a very interesting case. Okay, I was writing this for you because you're upset we don't learn enough ketos in yeshiva. Okay, this is for you. There's a famous, you guys know the ketos, one of the most famous lovers of all time, the ketos HaChoshen, the Sefer HaChoshen Mishpat. So he asks the following case, guys. Let's say a husband sends a shliach to divorce his wife, and then the husband goes crazy before the divorce. Okay, so it's a very good test case because what could you say? As we looked a couple weeks ago, right, we gave a shiur about insanity. Someone who's insane does not have the halachic ability to divorce his wife. But he sent the shliach before he went insane. So you could say, who cares that he's insane? Once he's got that power, the shliach's been given the power, the shliach has the independence and can go ahead and divorce his wife. Right? Or would you say no, but the person doing divorce is still insane? So it's not exactly the same question, but it very much touches on how much independence have I given the shliach after I've appointed him. Okay, so that is a very, very famous ksos. In fact, in my story about the four ksoses, you need to know, not the amaret, it's one of the four. Okay, so if you guys would like to be not, you would like to escape your ignoramus status, right, that is one of the four ksoses you need to know. Yeah, we're good? Okay, great. All right, okay. But Aaron Pirvi knows that ksos, you can check with him.
Okay.
You can just ask me. It's pretty straightforward. Okay? If you want, send me an email. Send me a list. Okay? So far, guys, only Andrew Arking has taken the test yet to prove that he's not on Mars. Okay? He's the only one. Okay? What? I'm sorry? Hey, that's right. Beth Fila, that's right. A little Beth Fila pride. Okay? The only non on Mars in right to history. Okay. So let's go to Gemara and Mako. Okay? Now we can get back to the question really of Daniel raised before. When do you become a witness and how do you find a group? So we discussed the potential that one bad apple could validate the whole group. So when does that exactly kick in? Okay, so let's see what we have here in Mako Dafe. Okay, Al Pishnaim in Meshlosh and Yumad HaMeit. So the pasuk talks about two or three witnesses, which is obviously a bit of a funny thing. What do you mean two or three? Lama Perakatu Bishlosha, El Haki Shnaim Meshlosha. What was the pasuk trying to do? Two and three are parallel. And what were they parallel? Nimtze echem and karvo pasle dutem betela. Af shlosha, nimtze echem and karvo pasle dutem betela. What would obviously happen if I have two witnesses? So if one is pasul, they're both pasul, right? Because you don't have enough witnesses left. I mean, not that they're both pasul, but you certainly can't carry the day. You don't have testimony. So you have a chiddush. Even if there's three that started out, what happens if one's pasul? It doesn't work. So that's the source of this idea. Eidut shebatla miktzata batla kulav. Some of it's negated, the whole thing's negated. Now let's go to the key thing, guys. When does this apply? Here we go. So, end of the third line. Amar Rav Yossi, Ramed v'amur b'dine nefashot. That's in capital crimes. Avodine mamonot, there's no such rule. Titkai meidut b'shar. Guys, what do you think, guys? Just offhand, what's the logic of Rav Yossi? Why would you have a rule like this limited to capital crimes and not monetary crimes? Yeah, Daniel? Excellent. Daniel Shanes is a serious guy. Okay, we know that there's a very strong leniency in halakha, or bias in halakha, towards a more lenient psak about capital crimes. We are not eager to put people to death. So maybe when you have certain kinds of arguments that would lead to a more lenient verdict, we are more quick to push that and to put into play in a din nefashot case. So we have shitas Rav Yossi. When do we say we throw out the whole thing? Only din nefashot, not din imamim. Okay, next. Daniel Shanes, very good. Okay, Rebbe Omer, but Rebbe disagrees. No, nothing doing. There's a rule across the board. It even applies in the monetary realm. Ah, wait. But, ematai, but when? Bizman shehitru ben. So now we get to the second card. Okay, let's say you have such a rule. But what makes you part of the Eidut team? So what's the claim here? When you're part of the Eidut team? When you warn them. If you gave a warning, you're indicating, I'm part of this case, I am going to testify about it one day. Okay, so now let's play with that segment. Again, we have a very important machloket. According to Rabbi Yossi, this rule is only for capital crimes because of the leniency of capital crimes. According to Rabbi, it's for both. And now we're trying to figure out at what point are you a witness and you join the group. So if you skip now down to the last three lines, okay, the Gemara's very interesting formulation is going to become crucial. I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Dor, my Asushneachim. Hey, Chiyamrinin Lu. Okay, how do we say to them? We're checking the witnesses. Okay, Amar Rava, it's really fucking, we needed you before. Okay. I'm great Shuli. But guys, I want to give Shuli Fruchter credit. Can you see where it is? What? This is on me, so yeah, you get it? Okay. Okay. So far, guys, of the research project, way before the due date, only Shuli Fruchter has done it. It is a very serious paper here. Okay? Very nicely done. Actually, I haven't read it yet, but it looks good. Okay? What? Okay, yeah, you know it's serious because there are footnotes. I'll see you quoting the footnotes.
Chicago or MLA?
Well, look at that. This is great, guys. It looks promising. You have more Nebuchim and the morale in the footnotes. Excellent. Looks very good. Okay, so guys, is the paper still going around with the... where is it? Okay, keep sending it. Okay. Guys, now's your chance. Obviously, it's not an obligation if you don't do it. She was not going to kick you out. But I think it'll be very good for you. Okay, and it's a good thing to do to learn how to do research and write it up. So I really recommend you jump on the bandwagon. Okay, great. So let's go back to the Gemara in Makkah. Amar Yossi, Medo Amurim, Maya Sushneachim. Hey, Chami, what do we say to them? Hachyamilu. Okay, let's read very carefully, guys. What do we say to the witnesses? Lemechzi atitu, o lasude atitu. Let's get all these words. What's the root of atitu there?
Go.
Ata, to come, right? Good. And what's la sude versus le mechze?
Witness.
Did you come to mechze to see? O la sude, did you come to?
Testify.
So we're almost like checking their intentions. What are you guys thinking? We see this guy. He says, you know, I was at this scene. Oh, did you come to see what's happening? Or did you come to testify? So if you look in Rashi, okay, look at the last line of Rashi on the bottom of the page. Hey, Cheminlu, lekarav upasul. What do we say to the relative of the pasul fellow? Lemiv dekinu. What are we trying to do now? We're checking. In mitzchila le'edut nitkavnu. Le'edut nitkavnu. So it sounds like what makes you a witness, according to Rashi? Kavanah. And we do an interview to find out about Kavanah. We say, what's going on here? What were you thinking? Were you thinking you're going to be a witness? Were you just thinking you're just watching the proceedings? What were you thinking? Okay, so according to Rashi, it sounds like you get your aid identity based on Kavanah, and that could either invalidate or not invalidate the group. Yeah?
Why would the Kavanah invalidate witnesses?
No, it's not the Kavanah. Okay, guys. It's not that Kavanah invalidates you. What's the idea here, guys? Let us say we have three people. We have two upstanding citizens, like Ian Laurent and Joseph Kahn. And we've got a John Seidel. Let's assume for the sake of argument, John Seidel is a convicted thief and burglar. Okay, for the sake of argument. Say, John, you have socks today? Okay, it's so cold right that even John has socks today. Okay? Okay, that didn't hold you back in the past. Okay, so now, okay, so we've got two upstanding guys and a ganav. Okay, so John can't give testimony because convicted thieves can't give testimony. And what would be a problem if these three are a group, based on the rule we said before, he'll invalidate the whole group. So it's not, Daniel, it's not that his kavanah itself is the psul. But let's say John, he likes to see court cases. He's not interested in testifying at all. So he comes, even though he did see what happened, but he just comes by and says, oh, let's see what's happening in the courtroom. So then he's not trying to be a witness. But if he says, I came to testify, so then possibly he's part of this group, and then he'll invalidate the entire group. Okay, that's right. It's the kavanah makes him an aide, and then he can invalidate the group. Yeah, Donnie.
Is this only for confusion?
No, well, hang on there, guys. The context in Mako till now has been what? Mamonot and Nefashot. We have not yet discussed Kedushin, right? What was Machlokas there? Rabbi Yossi said only Nefashot, and Rebbe said both Mamonot and Nefashot. But you're making a good point. What will happen when we move the conversation back to Kedushin? Let me just sum for a second, and then I'll take all the comments. Okay, I'm glad you did that, Donnie. Okay, what do we have now, guys? We had three areas of testimony. Monetary law, capital crimes, and marriage. Okay, let's plug in Atemei Dai to all of them, and then we'll plug in Donnie's question. What happened with Atemei Dai? Why do you need Atemei Dai in a Mamon case?
Because
we're afraid that... you're not really serious about your admission. Okay, why is it not relevant in a Fasho? Because you can't convict yourself in a Fasho case. So it's not really relevant. Okay, and we saw in Kiddushin, the Gemara seemed to reject Atemei Dai as necessary for Kiddushin. So in the Kiddushin, even without Atemei Dai, a person's testimony is perfectly fine. Okay, great. That's Atemei Dai. Now we're moving to when do we say one witness invalidates everybody? What's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe? Rabbi Yossi says that rule of invalidating everybody is only true in a Fashot, because we're trying to create leniencies in a Fashot. Whereas Rebbe says it's both in Mamonot and a Fashot. Kidani's right. We have not yet brought this over to Kiddushin and see how it will play out. And we still have to determine exactly when is your witness identity confirmed. And at this point in Rashi, it sounds like we simply give you an interview. What were you thinking? Were you thinking I'm just a bystander, or were you thinking you're going to testify? Okay, who else had a hand up? Yeah, Sammy.
Wait, so when they say what you're thinking, does that mean like when the case happens? Like after the case happens, you think I'm going to go testify?
Very good. So I agree. It wasn't so clear to me in the Gemara. What do you think, guys? Am I reading too much into Rashi? What was Rashi's wording? What's a key word in Rashi to answer Sammy's question?
Mitzchila.
Doesn't it sound like he's getting back to the time of the action? Right, why does Rashi tell the word Mitzchila? So it sounds like in Rashi, right? It's your kavanah while you're standing there and the endeavor is taking place. We're going to see in a second someone's going to reject us. Shirley Fruchter. Okay, so that really touches on Sammy's question, which is the key moment what happened at the time of the action, or is the key moment coming to Beit Din? Okay, we're going to get to that right now. That's exactly what he's raising, really, right?
Well, I mean, it's also going to be about that. Like, two of those five candidates, right? Like, if they want to testify, like, do the basic request to see how many people were you with to make sure they're not, like, taking...
Good, so, well, hold off there, okay? But, Sam, actually, I'm totally convinced what we said is correct, actually. It's not even a question. The Rashi means you're kavan at the time of the act. Yeah.
What's the need to come in and be in as a group? Because they get interviewed separately.
Okay, that's a great question. Okay, there's two important questions here. One, I'm going to duck a little bit for now. One question is when you get your witness identity. And the other question might be, okay, Tanya's saying, maybe you get your witness identity, but how do you define the groupings? Like, maybe you're a witness, but what makes, you know, John part of the Ian and Joseph group? Is it just because they saw it together? Is it because they came to Beit Din together? That's a good question. Okay, I'm ducking it for now. All right, anybody else before we move on? Yeah, Aaron.
Is the Kavanah idea relevant to both sides of the
world? Meaning Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so you're raising a good question. Unfortunately, I'm going to duck that one too, which is it only machloket about scope, or is it also machloket about how the principle works out? Because you could say, oh, everyone agrees how the principle works out. The only question is, does it apply in A or A and B? Right? Do you have any reason by that? Just that to think that the scope machloket will also impact on how it plays out? Okay, if you have a spar, I'd be curious to hear it. Okay, because I think the default would be they're only arguing about the scope of the principle, but they're arguing about how the principle actually plays out. All right, we're good? Okay, so let's now go to Kiddushin. Now we get to two great ritvas. Okay, one is really ritva for the ages. Okay, everyone turn the page, please. Okay, does anyone remember what the ritva's name was? Ah, very good. Yom Tov Ibn Ashvili. Good name. Okay, guys, you can name your kid Yom Tov. It's a great name. Okay, it's still used in some Sephardi communities. John, you know you've been named Yom Tov?
I know
last name. Okay. But there are actually other important rabbis who are named Yom Tov besides the Ritva. Oh, that's good. This is a good trivia question for the final. Can anyone name another famous rabbi whose name was Yom Tov besides the Ritva? Ah, very good. There's a parish on the Mishnah called the Tosfot Yom Tov because his name was Yom Tov. Okay, his name is Rabbi Yom Tov Lippman Heller. Okay, exciting news for you guys. A bunch of you will be with me next week for Shabbos. We will be in the cemetery where he's buried. Okay, he's buried in the same cemetery as the Ramah in Krakow. Okay, see the Tosfot Yom Tov, and I'll ask you then to name the other rabbi who's named Yom Tov, and now you will be able to answer. Oh, it's obviously the Ritva. Yes. All right.
I just have a question. Would this discussion about Kavanah apply to the idea of someone being and the person judging it?
Yes, very good. Okay, in fact, I think Rav Dovichir got to it. Towards the end of our parak in Bava Kamma, this is a question of Ein Eid Nased Dayan.
Yes.
If you're a witness, you can't be a judge. So I said exactly right. The same question comes up there. When do you get your Eid identity, which would then invalidate from your dad? Is it merely in seeing it? Is that not enough to get the Eid identity? That's a very good question. All right, guys, here we go. Ritva and Makot. Okay, so the Ritva lived in Spit. Oh, where's Zach Ben Ezra? Is he away? Oh, that's a good excuse. I have to admit. Even I admit that's a good excuse. Okay. Well, tell Zach Ben Ezra that we quoted a 1300s Spanish reader. Okay. Let's look out here in the Ritva. So says the Ritva, okay, Lamech Ziatitun Lasudiatitun. Here's Rashi. Oh, here's explicit Tammy. Lasudiatitun Bishat Maseh. What are we asking him about? What were you thinking? What happened? You think I want to be a witness? If they say, if they say at the time I was thinking I'm the witness, happily Adim Machmano Takavanadovad. Really pretty remarkable. You're an aid at that point. That is a pretty radical Rashi. What does Rashi say? To get witness status, you don't even need to go to Beitin. Just the mere fact that you witnessed it and thought, I want to be a witness. That gives your witness status, and you can already invalidate a group. Okay, then he quotes the Rashbam. If you skip down to line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, great, he says, Lebeitin Levido. Look what he says now, a nice little formulation. Zu Shitat Rashi Zal, Venechdo HaRashbam. Who's on the same team here? It's a nice day, right, guys? Often Rashi and Rashbam argue. We have a little family unity today. Right? Rashi and the Rashbam say, what makes you an aid? Kavanah, Bishat Maseh. Okay, great. But now the Ritva is going to jump on them. Aval hikshu alav. Okay. Now, one of the things I say, like, guys, learning is always about abstract logic, reasoning, and reading carefully. Right? Maybe all of life is about that. Right? Logical reasoning and careful reading. So let's see if we can critique Rashi based on both. Is there a logical argument against Rashi? And is there a careful reading argument against Rashi? Did anyone try either of the two? Try to, like, challenge the Rashi-Rashbam combo here? That, okay, according to Rashi Rashbam, you become an aid just by being there at the time and wanting to testify. And what was the Gemara's language? How do we challenge you? How do we check it out? What did the Gemara say? We ask you, Lemechzi Atitun O Lasudi Atitun. Okay, does anybody have either a logical argument or a language argument against Rashi Rashbam? Daniel Shanus.
I kind of assumed when reading that it wasn't really talking about, like, did you come to court today to do that, but more like, okay, you go to the murder scene.
Ah, very good. So Daniel is ready. So clever. Not only is he thought of what I'm going to say, he's ready to try to counter it. Okay? Because what would be the language argument? Well, look what it says. Did you come to see it, or did you come to testify? Well, what is the Ritva going to point out? Well, presumably, where are you coming to? You're coming... Well, again, you guys are with Daniel. What's the Ritva going to argue? You're coming to Beit Din. But that would indicate that it's not enough to have any kind of kavanah at the time of the action. We're interested in your coming to Beit Din. Why did you come? So if you we'll go a little out of order for 1 second. Look at the last two lines of this paragraph, guys. V'od lishna damrina. Look at the lishna. Look at the language. L'mechzi atitun ola sudi atitun. What does he assume? Atitun, what does that word imply? Lebeitin mashma. Where are you coming? You're coming to Beitin? D-lo, if it didn't mean that, having lememer la-sudi azaltun, oh, it's kavnutun. Right, he thinks that the verb should have been different if it wasn't about Beitin. He thinks the atta verb is about coming to Beitin, and therefore it can't be v'shat maset. So the Ritva is going to argue no one can become a witness simply by being at the action. And we don't care what you intended. You only end this become a witness because you show up in Beit Din. Now Daniel's ready to, he's a good man, he's ready trying to justify Rashi and the Rashbam. He's saying, what will Rashi and Rashbam say? Not why did you come to Beit Din, but why did you come to the scene? I will point out, you guys correct me if you disagree, it still seems to be that Ritva is smoother because a witness usually doesn't like choose to go to a scene to witness. What happens? It just happens, right? Like, I didn't wake up and say, oh, there's probably going to be a crime on Rehov Jabotinsky at 3:30, I'll go see it. Right? That's probably not the way the world works. So, I do think it's a smoother reading, you're coming somewhere, that's about coming to Beit Din, and that is the Ritva's argument. Okay, so that's the language argument. Okay, let's go back to the logical argument. So if you go back up to where we were before, where he said, Avil Hikshu Alav, Demas Svara Hizu. Obviously, if I say Mas Svara, I'm not talking about language, I'm talking about logic. Lomar ki lefisha mitkavin b'shari liot aid yikari aid, right? By the way, here's your case, right? Liot dayan v'lifsol hakshirim. So what's his point? No, what does it mean to be a witness? What is the essential witness job? You testify. So the mere fact that you're at an event should not in any way make you a witness. I don't care what you were thinking, right? What it means to be an aid in the world is to come to Beit Din and testify. But that's not a language point, it's just a logical point. But I think it's, again, a fairly compelling point. So again, according to Rashi, you could be invalidated. You can validate a group just by being at the action, right? If you have the kavanah to testify, the Ritva thinks it doesn't fit the language of atitoy, and he thinks logically it's more makes more sense. The only witness when you come to Beit Din. Okay, so that's a pretty important machloket. Any comments before we move on? Okay, we're good. Who had a hand up? Yeah, all right.
What would it mean when it says
Yeah, aren't people like to see trials? No. None of you ever did that? Never went to court to see what happens in a court case? There are people who come.
Sorry?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You know, people look for a little entertainment. Don't get a world before there was, you know, ESPN. Right, what are you going to do, right? Okay, there's no college lacrosse to follow. Right? It's a tough life. You get a little excited by coming to court. Okay. All right? No, you're right, but I think you could deal with that. I think you can explain why someone would come. Okay, yeah, Sammy.
Just practically, how do they know that there's going to be an invalid aid in the place if he never comes to court?
Oh, we might just find out from other sources.
How is that, like, taken seriously, then?
Okay, that's it. I'm going to leave you for now because I want to get to something else. Yeah.
Is this an other fit to be AD? Are there cases that, like, raised up. So does it set that of cases, or is that...
You want to know, is the same criteria of kosher apostle across the age spectrum? It's also a good question, but I'll leave it be. Okay, yes? No, but the question is, I see a theft going on. Does my mind say, I'm going to come to court to testify? Or does my mind just say, oh, okay, I saw a thief, but I have no plans on being a witness at all? Right? So in the first case, I'm an aide. In the second case, I'm not an aide. That's according to Rashi, not according to the aide. Okay, now let's plug this into Kiddushin for 1 second. And now we're going to see the wolf class word for the next one. Give me a great, great spark. Okay, if we now plug it in, we might have a very big difference between Rashi and the Ritva. Right? For example, let's plug in a Kiddushin case. Let's say, you know, Ben is getting married. It's very exciting. Okay, and now 5 of us are there, and his brother's there too. Do you have a brother, Ben?
I do not.
Okay, fine. And his father's there too. Okay, so there's 6 of us. A very small wedding, a little pizza in the backyard. Okay, so 6 of us are there. Okay, so in theory, it's great. We have 2 kosher witnesses. But wait, but his dad's there too. His dad is puzzled because a father can't testify about his son. So, guys, tell me, according to the Ritva, is this a difficulty at all? No. Not in the slightest. Okay, according to the Ritva, we're in great shape. Because, what will we say? Yeah, his dad's not a witness. He's just at the wedding. If his dad came to court to testify, he'd be a witness. But his dad has no intention to do so. And will not do so. He needs to say no intention. He will not do so. So, according to the Ritva, The whole question's not even started. Nothing problematic could occur. But wait, what if I hold like Rashi? And what it, now again, Rashi, we'd have to interview it. Now, I'm not saying it's definitely a problem. We might ask his dad at some point, oh, are you thinking about being a witness to your son's kiddushin? Hopefully he'll answer no, and we're in great shape. But we do have the possibility his dad will answer yes. So before we get to kiddushin, realize, according to the Ritva, it's not a problem in the slightest. There's nothing to talk about. According to Rashi, we could raise the issue, should we be concerned about apostolate at the kiddushin? John.
So, wouldn't it be problematic if, let's say, a son gets in trouble, that's a money problem, or somebody testifies against him, and his father comes to sabotage that testimony by becomes a testify too, and therefore sabotage
the okay. It's an interesting question, but I'm sorry, I've ducked a lot of good questions today, but I'm ducking for now also. Okay, good question, John. Okay, so let us go to the second Ritva. So we saw the Ritva in Mako argue with Rashi that when you get your eight identity, it's not Peshat Maaseh, it's Peshat Vayim LeBeitin, Shehu Magia LeBeitin. Now let's put the Ritva in Kiddushin, which is going to plug this into Kiddushin and say a tremendous svar. Okay, here we go, guys. There's a word to come to Yeshiva today just for this svar. Itmar. Rav Mar Shliach Kiddushin Asay. My time to Rav Shila. Okay, fine. Let's skip to the third line. Okay, only in money do you need atemei dai. Right, remember that first Quran Kiddushin. Again, why might you need atemei dai? Because otherwise, what could the guy say? Right, remember, guys, what was Meshatei Bacha? I was just joking around. Just joking. Oh, shalom lasbia tatsmi asiti. That's the other argument. Lasbia like sava. I wanted to portray myself as not being rich. I'm not so full. I'm not satiated. That's the other reason for the false admission. Avol b'kiddushin, Tanya Laskel, here's your point. The leka lemeimer kol chad mehane, right? Neither of those applies. It's nothing to do with wealth or we assume a person doesn't joke in that context. Lo ba'ina na temedai. You don't need a temedai. V'chein hilchata. Okay, now comes the earth-shattering ritva. Miu kol hecha sheyesh bo toma mar ksherim upsulim ukrovim. But what if witnessing at who's present at the kiddushin? What if their apostle ate him in there, either because they're relatives or because they're inherently pasul? Then what? Tzarech liyached edi kiddushin. What's tzarech liyached? I do need to specify. I do need to designate. So now we get to Daniel Medvin's point. So why at a wedding will some inside a kiddushin have the MC say, these two guys are the witnesses to the exclusion of all others? We now know why. Because you're assuming there are psulim and krovim who are present, and maybe the psulim and krovim are part of the witness group, and they can validate the entire thing. So he says, if there's psulim or krovim there, designate the witnesses. Specify them and nobody else. But now we still have to get back, wait, but what about the other info that says it depends on shat beitin, not about shat maaseh? Okay, here comes the great svar, guys. That was true only in monetary crimes and capital crimes. Why? She'ein ha'edut mitkayemet atchaban lebeitin. V'shat riyah lo chashiva edut. What's true about both money and capital crimes cases? What is the moment of truth? When you come to court. Meaning, let's try to figure out, if you're a witness, where is your star role? Right? On the highlights, what are they going to show? Right? The top 10 witness plays of the week. Okay, so when was your moment? Right? So according to, if it's moment or nefasha, what's your moment? When you show up in Beitin. That's your moment in the sun. Okay, here we go, guys. Aval hacha b'kiddushin. Here's the svar. Everyone, get this wake up for this line. Kivalev, you doing okay? You recovered from your Burger King shift? Okay, it's hard to make all those whoppers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Avol hacha b'kiddushin, ein ha'edut ba'la meid hadavar bilvad. Testimony is not just la'amid hadavar. What do you guys say? What's the root? What's the verb la'amid? Yeah, very good. That was very good. Good word. To make the truth known, to substantiate. Okay? That's not the only purpose of witnessing. Meaning, what would you say in general? Why are there witnesses in this world? Witnesses are here to establish the truth, to tell us what happened. So he says, that's true in Mamanot, and that's true in Nefashot. Aval hacha, but sorry, elafilu yadina dahi kushta demilta, even though that this is kushta, the truth, shekidja, eina mikudeshit below edut. That was their svar, guys. This is a great svar. there's a distinction in life between what's called a debuer and a dekiel. What does a debuer mean? What's the role of witnesses? Levarer. To clarify what happened. Let us say I want to lend, who should we do that? I would like to lend Andrew Wolf money. So I lend him some money. Let's say I trust Andrew Wolf. If I trust him, what might he very well do? Do that loan without witnesses. If I loan him the money without witnesses, is the loan valid? Of course, right? Loans are loans. It doesn't matter if witnesses see it or not. So why might I bring in witnesses? What I'm afraid that he's going to default. He's going to pretend it didn't happen, or he's just going to forget. So again, what is the solitary role of witnesses in the average case? Clarification. They're just to say what happened. Let's go to a marriage. Right? Let's say I betroth the woman and no one sees it. But I swear up and down that it happened, and she agrees also. So are we married?
No.
Is it because we don't believe myself and the girl? No. Why are we not married? Because witnesses are part of the ceremony. They're not just clarification, right? They are making it happen. Apparently, a Jewish wedding is supposed to be the husband, the wife, and a crown. Right? If that they don't exist, right, there is no kiddushin. Right? That's why it comes up all the time. Right? People probably told you all kinds of stories. Like when you're in high school, right? Like don't, as a joke, say hi mikudeshli to a girl because you might have to give a get. Okay, so I don't know if you've heard those stories. But what is the easiest way out of it? If there was weren't two kosher witnesses in the room at the time. If there weren't two kosher witnesses in the room, would there be any fear whatsoever? Absolutely not. Because again, it is not a debuer. Everyone got the distinction? So in Mammon and Nefasho, witnesses are not to make the event happen. Witnesses are just to tell us what happened. That is a debuer. In a Kiddushin scenario, right, obviously they could also tell us what happened. But their essential role is L'kayyem HaDavar, to enable the marriage to be a marriage. Now, one more thing, guys. One more svara, and then I'll take comments. And actually, we'll just do it outside. You guys get it right away. Who can tell me why that's relevant to the question at hand? In terms of, again, let's go back to that top 10 witness moments, right? When do you get your aid identity? What do you guys say? Well, if it's the role of a witness is biror, so when do you get your aid identity? When you come to court, right? That's when your starring role. Go tell Beit Din what happened. But if I'm in a realm of halacha where, what's the role of the witness? To make the event happen. So what's my key moment? The kiddushin. Right, so it's a great svara. So the Ritva says, that's why you need to designate witnesses at a wedding. It's true, says the Ritva. I've been arguing in Mako that you're not a witness, so you show up in court. And therefore, as long as you don't show up in court, you can't create any difficulties. That's eminently logical. But that's when your role of a witness is to be an aid shem mevarer. But if it's kiddushin, where your role of witness totally changes, you're a presence, you're an audience, right? At that point, the key moment shifts to the time of action. So if you ever, now you guys need to be very knowledgeable. And next time you're at a wedding, and they announce X and Y, the witnesses, to exclusion of all others, just go up to some local Talmud Chacham and just mutter in your breath, the Ritva kiddushin, right? If you're doing it, that is why. Any Masada kiddushin is doing it is because of the Ritva we just saw. Yeah, all right.
Don't we now explain the why kiddushin versus other things
need? Look, you could push it one step further, but I'm not going to address it right now. It's a good question. But what if he has proofs that that's true? Like sometimes you have a proof that the halakha system says this. You're not sure why, but you could then work off that. Right? I think he's got good proofs in halakha that without two witnesses, there's no such thing as a marriage.
I'm not necessarily as a...
No, I think you're right. You could say what is the reason that our tradition demands edikim for a wedding? I think it's all in marriage, right? I think also you can't get, but you ask about how it plays out in get, right? But I don't think we say, well, think about it, it wouldn't really be so logical for anything else, right? Right? Would I say, like, the murder is only a murder for their witnesses? Would you say the loan's only a loan, right?
It becomes kind of questionable why that exists just for marriage.
Right, so again, I would phrase the question more, the simplest understanding of the role of Edim is Edi Bureau. So why does halakha want edikim for a marriage? Why is that the way the system works? I agree. That is a reasonable thing to investigate. Yeah?
Is it possible another example of edikim is when you need...
Not bad, although I think they're... Why do you need the audience there? They're not functioning qua edim. They're functioning more qua... Beitin. Right, maybe you need a Beitin's presence. Okay? So you might be right that you need an audience, but... You guys might be a different category. Yeah.
If you hold the Adam Sierra card too, like getting the dunk, don't you sure upset the Mikhaev?
Okay, yeah, okay, so there's a, let's say one thing very briefly, just to make Arias and Sam Bellows happy. Okay, there's a running machloket through Gittin. Who are the main Edom on the get? Edi Mesira or Edi Chatima? Is it the Edom who witnessed the giving over the get, or the Edom who signed on the document? Okay, so it is interesting how the Edi Mesira, Edi Chatima question would play into the Edi Kim idea, but I am not going to touch that either, but that is an interesting question. Go talk to Sam about it this afternoon. Yeah?
If you had a woman who's watching the chuppah and she has in her mind that she wants to testify, in that opinion, that's where it matters, that where that doesn't mean.
Well, that's exactly why the Ritva thinks. Let's say we don't hold like the Ritva, so it's not a problem, right? But what did the Ritva think? That's why we say we cut her off at the pass. How do we cut her off at the pass? Because we announce that she's not a witness. We say, no, these two guys are the witnesses, nobody else. That's the whole point for the Ritva, right? Okay, I wanted to point out one thing. This is kind of interesting. What was the practice in Spain? So skip to the last line. What does he say? This is how my rabbi Paskin, namely that we should designate witnesses at a wedding. Okay, but this is not, didn't seem to be the consensus, even though I find the Ritva conceptually kind of captivating. Right? It sounds like most Mefreshim did not think so. They thought you're not an aid till you come to Beit Din, and therefore it's not a problem even in a wedding. So if anyone ever had a wedding where this doesn't happen, you should not have a conniption. It is fine. Although the Ritva does say, it would be interesting to kind of trace this out through the history of halakha, who is machmir, who is not machmir. But again, it is okay if you don't do it. Right? Because there seems to be the mainstream position here is that in all scenarios, you're not a witness till you actually show up in court. Yeah, Tani.
So can we reread the Kedushin that we did on the first page? Not as saying the issue of Shliach is on Eid Nasidayan, rather that there literally aren't aiding, which is a part of the marriage process, just because fundamentally you need aiding, not because you need them to. Like,
meaning, in the Atemei Dai?
Okay.
Let me just clarify one thing. You know, maybe we'll review though. I was going to sneak in one more, so maybe I won't actually, and I'll just do a brief review and answer Donnie's question. Just eye for doubt. I'm not going to read inside, but if you read the Aruch HaShulchan, you might have answered your question. Okay, take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, very brief review, guys. Let's discuss what we did today and the major distinction here at the end. Okay, Ben Weiner, what are you learning there? What do you got? What? Okay. Ben, you know, it is quite interesting, but it's not as new as the Ritva confusion. Okay. Yeah, it's not as good. The best thing ever was there was a guy who was reading Seven Habits of Highly Effective People during Shirkali. So I told him there was an eighth habit. The eighth habit is listening to Shirkali. Okay. Here you go. So let's just do a brief review. Okay, we're trying to figure out when you have to say Atem Eidai. Okay, let's start with Mamon. Why in Mamon is it important to say Atem Eidai if someone's going to admit they owe money? Because otherwise, what could we argue? He's just joking around. What else could you say? He just wanted everyone to think he's not wealthy. It's not good if people think you're wealthy. They come to you for loans all the time. So we're not sure he's serious. But when he says Atem Eidai, we know he's serious. Okay, great. Okay, what did the Gemara in Kiddushin say? Do you need Atem Eidai in Kiddushin Mem Gimel? It was explicit that you don't need a Atem Eidai. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. So in Mamon you need a Atem Eidai, in Kiddushin you don't. Okay, why was it not really relevant in the Fashot, guys? Because you can't incriminate yourself anyway, so that's kind of irrelevant. Okay, great. Now let's move to the next question. When do we say that one witness invalidates the whole group? What's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? According to Rabbi Yossi, holy in? The Fashot. Again, why? In the Fashot we have this bias towards an innocent verdict. According to Rebbe, both Mamonot and a fasher. Okay, what was the next $1 million question? Well, if one witness could invalidate the whole group, when do you get your witness identity and possibly invalidate the group? What did Rashi and the Rashbam think? When are you a witness? If at the time of seeing it, you had intent. Kavana b'shat maaseh. The Ritva had a double objection, guys. What was his language objection in the Ritva? The word atitun to come. He says it's coming to Beit Din. And even logically, he says, when's a witness ultimately doing his main job when he testifies in court? So according to the Ritva, you are not a witness at all until you come to court. Okay, so we have Rashi and Rashbam and Ritva. So it sounds like if you hold like the Ritva, things are great, right? You don't have any problem of one witness invalidating the whole group as long as the possible witness does not come to court. Then comes the extremely longish Ritva in Kiddushin. What did the Ritva say? Why are weddings not like Mamonot and Nefashot? Because what's true about Mamonot and Nefashot? A witness's job is to clarify, clearly at that point, the key moment is the testimony in court. So you're not an aid until you come to court. But the Ritva says, in Kiddushin, since it's a de kiyum, the witness's role is to be a presence at the wedding. Once that's true, the key moment shifts to the moment of Kiddushin, and therefore, you can validate everything. That's why, again, guys, those that say these are the witnesses to the exclusion of everybody else are doing it based on the Sfarah we just saw in the Ritva. Okay, very last point here, guys. What about, how could the Ritva say you need a Atem Edai in a Kiddushin when the Gemara in Kiddushin said you didn't need it? Because what's the case in Kiddushin? When would the Ritva agree you don't need a Atem Edai?
If there's only two.
Oh, very good. Excellent, Sammy. Right? The Ritva's case is a Shliach, right? In Kiddushin. Maybe the Shliach does not have like 80 million people there. It is just the Shliach, the woman, and
Tuedim.
So if there's nobody possible there, right, so there's nothing to talk about. I mean, the Ritva doesn't say you inherently need a Temei Dai. According to the Ritva, when do you need a Temei Dai? Only as a means of excluding possible people, right? So they realize the Ritva, don't think, I thought something, the Ritva is against the Gemara. It's not true. The Gemara says there's no inherent need for a Temei Dai in Kiddushin. But if there's somebody possible, because the Ritva is Svara, then they would in fact need a Temei Dai. Okay, anybody to close and comment or question? Yeah,
I'm just curious.
I actually you see both all the time. Okay, guys, check it out, guys. Everyone who goes to a wedding this year, come back and let me know. Did they designate specific witnesses? Did they say to speak of all others? Okay, we will check it out. Yeah. Look, it's not clear how Eid Zomim would play out here because it's not exactly a punishment, right?
Right.
Okay, so we're by. Let's leave Hazam out of it. I know you like Mako, but leave Hazam out of it. All right, everybody should have a great Shabbos. Okay.